Hi, I'm Alex Pizzola, former AmeriCorps member with Health 360.
Healthy Minds Alliance is an innovative AmeriCorps program managed by Health 360 that engages AmeriCorps members of all ages and backgrounds to meet critical mental health needs in communities served by their host sites. AmeriCorps members serving with the Healthy Minds Alliance receive a stipend during their 10-month service term, and upon completion of their service term, receive an education award which can be used to repay qualified student loans and to pay current educational expenses at eligible institutions of higher education and training programs. If you're interested in becoming an AmeriCorps member or would like information on how your organization could become a host site, please see our show notes for information on how to apply.
Welcome, current, former, future AmeriCorps service members. My name is Michael, and I will be your host for today's Healthy Minds Alliance podcast. I'm also a currently serving AmeriCorps member. Joining me today is Alex Pizzola, a former AmeriCorps member, and we're going to learn all about her and some of the wonderful things she has done since and after the AmeriCorps service. So, Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Michael.
I'm absolutely thrilled to get a chance to talk to you today. We've been corresponding a little bit back and forth in email, but it's always different when you actually get to put a face and a voice to a person. Now, I think out of all the people I've interviewed so far, you're the one whose tenure has gone furthest, like you've been away from the program for a while.
Yeah.
So let's start with current day. Tell me a little bit about Alex, who you are and what you do in your day-to-day life.
So as a person, I am currently based in upstate New York. I'm from upstate New York. I've lived in a couple of places throughout my post-college experience, but back in upstate New York where I grew up. And work-wise, I'm currently working at Cornell University in their College of Engineering, specifically in advising. So academic advising for first and second year engineers primarily, and all of the fun things that come with that.
So how long has it been since you were with AmeriCorps?
So
if I may ask.
Wow, this is actually going to make me feel a little bit old, but I did, my first service term was 2013 to 2014, which was an AmeriCorps VISTA service term. And then my term with Health 360, which was not called Health 360 at that time, which may actually date me, was 2014 into 2015. So it's been less than 10 years, which is good, but not far off.
It's excellent. The AmeriCorps program as a whole, and then the 360, Health 360 kind of bubble, you know, obviously anyone can serve and can be a part of the program. But we tend to draw people who are right out of college or maybe in between like college and post doctorate, that kind of time frame. So is that how you came into the program? Were you like between college and career steps?
Yes. It was very intentional, my transition into AmeriCorps. I went to a Franciscan institution for my undergraduate, Siena College. And one of the Franciscan values that they really espouse is service. And I had spent a lot of time in college. I came in as one thing, in one major, was planning to graduate with something completely different, had no idea what was out there. And a career advisor said to me that graduate school was a really expensive place to figure out what I wanted to do.
That's good advice.
It's really good advice. And she brought up the idea of doing postgraduate service. And I had been thinking Peace Corps, I had been thinking so many other things, even City Year, which is, you know, AmeriCorps adjacent. But when I really thought about what I wanted to do, I wanted to do service close to the communities that I was connected to. And so my first service term was a VISTA term in Albany, New York, which is right where I graduated from college. So I was led into the whole AmeriCorps ordeal in the best way, based on my own values of service and based on the values that I had learned throughout college.
Well, that's excellent. So you know, it's not like a secret that part of the objective of the podcast is to bring additional awareness around the opportunity with AmeriCorps and Health 360. You know, I don't necessarily want to say we're a recruitment tool, but we do hope people will find this and then like, oh, I didn't know about AmeriCorps. I didn't know about Health 360. So did you do like, well, I guess I have a couple of questions because I'm not familiar with the VISTA program. So we'll start there. So what is that version of AmeriCorps service?
Yeah. So there are different branches of AmeriCorps service, and Health 360 and Healthy Minds Alliance, which is what the program is called now, is AmeriCorps State and National. So that's one branch of AmeriCorps service. And that's really direct service. You're going, you're teaching. Specifically, you know, my position there was to teach mental health first aid. And so it was direct service to the community. VISTA is indirect service. It's, you're way more behind the scenes. So I served in a homeless shelter in Albany for women and children, folks who were unhoused, displaced. But my role there wasn't super huge into programming. It was recruiting the volunteers for the programs. It was fundraising for the organization that maintained the shelter. So VISTA is a lot more background. It's more building sustainability within nonprofits to help them get from where they are to hopefully something bigger and something that will last in the community.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then after that service term, did you go directly into Health 360?
Yes.
So was that like a conscious decision to do something slightly different, or was that just the opportunity that presented itself at the time? How did that look?
So when I was finishing up my first service term, over time, my passion for mental health had grown probably from my freshman year of college onward. And I had always had a really big passion for it. And I was looking all over. I was looking for full-time jobs. I was looking for other AmeriCorps positions. And one day I searched in, I think it was just usjobs.gov or something like that. I can't even remember now, but I was searching and I used mental health as a search term. And the only hit was the program at what was then Northwest Connecticut Area Health Education Center, now Health 360. And it was this program to teach youth mental health first aid throughout the state of Connecticut. And I said, cool, let me try for that. Right.
Excellent. That's the same thing I do within my service term. Obviously, I work at a school. That's where I spent my term. But in addition to that is I teach youth mental health first aid. I'm very passionate about that training. I have some, you know, lived experience with some of the things that we talk and teach about. So it's been very fulfilling for me to be able to do that. And, you know, I wish I could do more, but a part of this also the podcast is also the way I'm kind of expressing that as well. So I imagine that whether it's a direct line, what you did with AmeriCorps is in some way connected to what you're doing now as a career. And again, there's a few years there. I don't expect, you know, to go through all of it, but but was there any specific things that you did or learned through your AmeriCorps service, or maybe some experiences that helped drive you to where you are now?
I would say that most everything in AmeriCorps set me up for my professional career. I sold it to my parents when I was first going into it. They were not quite sure what the heck I was doing, especially when it came to the pretty low stipend that came along with doing service. And I knew that I really had to get a lot out of it. And I did. You know, the skills that you build through AmeriCorps, separate from the mental health part of this, which I think is a huge part, but even just the skills that you build as an AmeriCorps service member are absolutely irreplaceable. The ability to connect with others, the ability to disarm them, to quickly connect is huge for me. It comes up every day in my job now, which is advising, working with first and second year students in engineering, trying to help them sometimes through just academic questions, sometimes through significant crises. It came into play at my former job, you know, the job that I did after AmeriCorps, which was undergraduate admissions, where I was, you know, at college fairs, standing at tables, meeting people who I'd never met before to be able to say, hi, I'm Alex. This is the school I represent. What kind of questions do you have for me? And taking people's guards down really quickly, learned that through AmeriCorps, learned skills of facilitation, obviously, through youth mental health first aid, especially content building, curriculum building. But even things that are indirect, often when I interview for positions, even though I'm, you know, almost 10 years out of my last AmeriCorps position, I still bring up AmeriCorps because one of the biggest things it gave me is the fact that it made me super resourceful. When you are working in a nonprofit, nonprofits are notoriously underfunded. And when you're trying to serve a community, you need to get really creative. And that is one of the things that I have taken with me the furthest. And one thing that I always, always, always bring up in interviews is I'm scrappy. I will figure out a way to get it done, because that's exactly what AmeriCorps is all about. It's learning how to get creative, how to be a problem solver, and not just sit with an issue, but take it somewhere. And it comes up daily for me.
Absolutely. I'm a bit older into the program than, again, I guess I don't know the actual numbers, but I'm going to assume most people are closer to college age when they come into the program.
I think so.
But I can't, and I've said this before in the podcast, if anybody's listened to all the episodes, my apologies for repeating myself, but I cannot overstate how valuable it would be to someone going into a career to go through the facilitation training for whether it's be youth mental health first aid or adult or any of the other options, because you learn through that facilitation, you're going to take that. I don't care what your career is. You're going to be giving presentations. You're going to be communicating to people at different stratospheres within the organization, whether it be hourly all the way up to a CEO and be able to sort of manage a room. And it's just, it's all but invaluable training. And then also just learning, it's like an on-the-job training. You are in an organization, you're working within it as if you were an employee there. Technically, you're not. Again, there's the whole AmeriCorps words we have to use. But that is such great on-the-job training. Now, as you mentioned, the stipend, better than nothing, but it's not necessarily livable for everyone. There's certain people who will not be able to do this because of their economic situation. And, you know, we would love to change that, but we're not there yet. But if you can, I can't think of hardly anything better to get you started in a career than going through an AmeriCorps service term.
Only agree. I think that it was critical for me. I mean, especially given that I didn't really know what I wanted to do, I at least wanted to do something that would help me progress in some way. And AmeriCorps again and again shows up 10 years down the road in the skills that I have and the connections that I've built. And really, it's made me who I am, for sure.
Yeah, so I usually cut my parts out because I don't need to be in this very much. But sometimes I just want to say, yeah! Or I just get excited and want to say, yeah!
Yeah!
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that
with us. Of
course,
yeah.
If you were talking to a young person now, which again, basically is your job, and they are thinking about serving, like what would you say to encourage them that maybe to look at AmeriCorps and then just in service in general, is there anything advice you would give? And you can also couch this in, you've gone through it. So obviously we want to encourage people to do it if they can, but is there anything else? I feel like we did big picture, we've been very positive, but is there anything like specific, like you would say, here's some advice for someone who's about to start an AmeriCorps service term? I think I asked two questions.
Okay.
So let me clarify. So part one would be, if someone's thinking about service as something to do, what would you say to them, like general advice and maybe specifically aiming them towards AmeriCorps? Mm-hmm. And then the second question that I kind of asked there in the middle was, if someone's about to start an AmeriCorps service term, is there some like specific advice that you might give them looking back on your own? Like what I wish I had known, what did I learn during the process that I could have gone in with, those types of things. So take those in either order you would like.
So what would I say to someone who is considering service and to kind of encourage them to look at AmeriCorps? I would say that, I think I would say, talk to current members if you can. Figure out where current members serve. Learn more about what they're doing. But also just start reading the job descriptions. You will find, number one, that you meet the qualifications for these positions. And you may not be finding that. If you're fresh out of college, you may not be finding that in positions that are in the corporate world, that are even at nonprofits full time. But you will meet the qualifications for AmeriCorps positions. They are a great stepping stone. And especially if you're feeling like, oh, I didn't have enough experience. I didn't do an internship in college. I'm going into a career field that doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm taking a gap year. I might be applying to med school next year, but I don't really have anything to do. There are so many reasons why someone might get into AmeriCorps and why it might be good for them. So I think it's really, if you're considering it, think about what you're trying to get out of it and try to align where you're applying with what you're hoping to get out of it, but also what you can give. It's not just, service is not about you. It's about the communities that you're serving.
Right.
And this is kind of difficult because AmeriCorps is billed as a very pre-professional in a lot of ways thing. And so you want to think, yes, about what you will get out of it to be able to have those transferable skills when you go into future positions. But what do you have to offer? Most likely you have a lot to offer. I came out of college and I knew that I had a lot of skills, a focus on service, yes, but I had skills in psychology. That was my degree. I had a background in education a little bit. I had a background in, gosh, so many different things. Yeah. And I looked at what I had and I was like, how can I use that to serve? And it was great. You know, I wound up using my skills of psychology of connections, things like that, to be able to serve right first in that homeless shelter. And then later on, of course, with Health 360.
So it sounds counterintuitive in a way, but again, I want to stress this again, that, you know, to go into service, that there's a certain type of person that looks for those opportunities and that can do those sorts of things. But it's okay to be a little bit selfish in, like, what am I also going to get from it? Yeah. Obviously, you want to serve, but I think it's totally fair to be like, but how can this also help me in the future? I think that's a very fair question. And I really like what you said about, you know, you have things to offer. You have skills that you're bringing to the table, even if you yourself may not recognize them. And I'm gonna mess this analogy up, but I like to think of it like different people are different types of batteries. Mm-hmm. You might be a AAA, another person might be a D cell, someone else might be a car battery. And like that car battery can do a lot, but it can't run a thing that needs a AA or a AAA. So you don't have to be the all, you know, everything, but you still bring something to the table that can be used by the right organization, whether it's AmeriCorps or someone else. Allow yourself to be used in the way that you are made to be used, but you also, I don't think use is the right way, or one better. Allow yourself to be of service in the way that you are best built to be of service. Hopefully I did that some justice.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it is so important to know that you're already bringing things to the table. And then the other part of it is that, like, those things that you're already bringing to the table will be cultivated. Those abilities, those skills are going to grow. You're going to gain more. So if right now you're feeling like, oh, I don't feel like I have much to offer, even though you likely do, but it's hard to see that, I think, especially fresh out of college, if that's your position, but even other points in your life, know that you're going to get even more out of it. It's an investment. It's for some people, a sacrifice. There's a lot that you do during that time to build up who you are and those skills that really help make you who you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then to kind of focus back on that second part of the question.
Yes.
So is there like a very specific, maybe just like a nitty gritty, very surface level advice you would give to someone who's about to start AmeriCorps? It could be like, you know, make sure you watch your time schedule or something like that. Like, is there any advice you would give to someone?
So if I were to give advice to someone who's just about to start their AmeriCorps term, I think that I would say, prepare for challenges. This experience will be incredible in a lot of ways, but it will also present you with challenges, whether it's challenges learning how to be a professional in the workforce, whether it's challenges with roommates that you got because you need them right now, whether it's challenges managing the AmeriCorps budget and stipend, whether it's just challenges getting programs that you're trying to start or maintain off the ground or to a new level, there will be challenges that you face. But I think that if you go into your AmeriCorps service term knowing there will be both good and difficult, you will get so much out of it and you'll be way more prepared than I was, for sure.
Excellent. I know we've talked big picture about your time within the program. But is there a specific moment or a specific experience that you had with either of your service terms that you circle back to? And again, it could be a challenge you talked about that you learned something from, just like a super cool thing or a specific moment you would like to circle back and just talk about for a second.
So yeah, so there's a specific moment that I think will forever reside in my memory. I was teaching a youth mental health first aid course. I want to say somewhere around Lyme, Connecticut, maybe. And I think it was there. And it was an evening course. I was co-teaching with someone else, not in the program. At the time, I don't know what the network is like now, but at the time there were just youth mental health first aiders all over Connecticut. And I'm pretty sure this person I had connected with through some networking event, and we decided to co-teach a course. And what I didn't know about this community is that maybe within the last 5 years, they had experienced several young people dying by suicide. And I came in there not knowing that. And when we got to the asking the question part of the youth mental health first aid curriculum, there was a lot of conversation and there was a lot of intense opinions that had been formed by trauma, and that had been formed by the way in which the media had covered these very upsetting and unfortunate deaths. And we had a lot to work through. I had taught that portion of the course so many times before. And it's always an eye-opening portion of the course to sit there and to practice asking someone if they're thinking of suicide. It's always intense. It's incredible in a lot of ways, but there's always an intensity to it. And in this space, it was different. It was tinged with something else. And we actually had to step away from the curriculum and have a full conversation, let people get their feelings out, and to start addressing in a different way some of the myths, some of the fears, some of the deep, deep stigma that people hold when it comes to suicide. It was so hard, but so incredible to watch this community work through and to get to have somewhat facilitated that. I mean, I don't want to give myself too much credit, but I always go back to that moment because number one, I was felt very out of my depth and was not prepared for that. So it was, you know, information for me to do my research on future communities. But number two, it was a really incredible and intense thing to watch.
I can't even imagine. I teach that course as well. Yeah. So I've taught that curriculum, but I've never had that type of response. But the first thing that I thought of as a part of that course that we teach is that when you want to talk to a youth or to a young person who might be experiencing a challenge, you want to make sure that you are in your correct headspace and that you have prepared yourself, because you might say, hey, how are things going? And the response may not be, it's great. It could be, this is happening at home and I need help. And that you almost kind of had a real life experience of that, where you probably had taught this class many times. You probably felt like, I know what to go through the motions. And all of a sudden you got a response that was outside the normal. And, you know, again, I think the training that we go through to become instructors is very beneficial and helpful, and your experience just teaching other courses. But that would be a very intense situation. And I'm sorry you had to go through it, but I think it definitely helped like a foundation for you to grow from.
For sure. I don't regret it at all. And, you know, I was happy that I could get to be there with them and to kind of guide the conversation, and also to make sure that we were talking about suicide in an appropriate, a destigmatized, a kind way, because that was not the belief that a lot of the folks in the room held. And to get to that place with many of them, I'm not saying I changed minds and changed lives that night, but to give them some food for thought and to really start thinking through this in a different way with different vocabulary that youth mental health first aid is so couched in. Like, it was so special to see someone go from a stigmatizing description of suicide to even just the terminology died by suicide. Like, even that shift in that conversation meant the world to me. And I think, I hope it changed some things for at least the folks in that room too.
I say this when I do the classes as well. We don't usually have the ability to see immediately the impact that we have. Huh? But I like to think that for every time I've taught that course, someone's life has benefited from it, whether it be the person I'm teaching or someone that they will then go on to interact with. And, you know, that's the hope. That's the goal, is that we're not just doing this because we're doing it because it can actually save someone's life at some point, you know, years down the line. So whether you directly had that impact or not, you certainly had the opportunity to do so. And I mean, honestly, that's special to me. Like, it's part of the reason why I like doing this. I want to think that I've had that type of impact in someone's life at some point in time, because there are people who don't have that opportunity and things happen because of it. So
absolutely.
Anyway, hard turn in the conversation, but again, that's kind of like AmeriCorps service. I also just like to ask sort of like the last question is, what didn't I ask? So you knew you were going to have this interview. You probably were game planning in your head some things that you wanted to talk about. Is there something that I have not given you the chance to talk about that you're just excited to share?
Okay. So I think one of the first questions that you didn't ask me, but that I really want to talk about as a person who did 2 years of AmeriCorps and therefore had 2 years of education awards in the bank, quote unquote, to use how I wanted to use. I wanted to just talk about my experience with that, because there was such a lack of information out there when I was coming out of AmeriCorps and when I was trying to decide, what am I going to do with these? So I was not planning on a further education for different programs. And it is important to know there are so many master's programs out there that will match your education award. I have friends who've done the program who have done that for scholarships who, you know, come out with a 6,500 scholarship just from AmeriCorps and get it matched by a university for their grad studies. So number one, keep that in mind. But I knew I wasn't going on to grad school, at least at that point. I had a certain amount in loans, and I really wanted to use my education award to dig into a good chunk of that. And so I was slowly paying it off with the education award over time, but I was trying to do it a little bit quickly. And I had decided both of my education awards would go toward those loans, take out a big chunk. And so eventually I just used the entire awards, all of them, and applied them to the loan, which was great. What I didn't realize is that you are taxed on that as income at the end of the year or during taxes. So I wound up owing, I'll say about, you know, so I had close to $13,000 in education awards because I did it 2 years in a row. And I applied all of that and I got taxed around $2,000 on that. And as a person fresh out of AmeriCorps who was needing to build up their savings because they had done AmeriCorps and hadn't made a lot of money, that was a significant hit. So I think what I'm trying to get at is please do your research. There are so many good ways to use the education award. It is such an incredible benefit. I don't regret using it, even though I got taxed significantly on it.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, please do your research. You want to be able to get the most out of it.
Yeah. The only thing I would say there is we do now, I think, again, the program has expanded since you were in it. We have now specialists and supervisors who that is kind of a lot of what they do is make sure that we are educated on those things. But still, do your own research. It's always a good idea to look into things yourself, because I'm sure you still came out way ahead in that sense. But getting a $2,000 tax bill at the end of the year, you probably didn't expect.
Wasn't ready for it.
Wasn't ready for it, yes. So it's all learned from Alex's experience, her challenge. But yes, it's a great thing, but you know, still use it wisely. So great. Thank you for sharing, because I don't think we've touched on that in that level of specificity before. So I'm glad someone finally did.
Yeah, absolutely. Please learn from my mistakes. It's important. It's important. Watch the people around you so that you don't have to make the same mistakes. That's how we learn.
Make your own different mistakes.
Yeah, make
your
own different mistakes and then tell me about them so I don't make them. So I think the other thing that I wanted to touch on was really, I mean, the big part of doing the program through Health 360 when I was serving, you know, and I was just part of what we called the Youth Mental Health First Aid Corps. It has shifted now, I think, to the Healthy Minds Alliance. So apologies if I use different terminology, but, you know, that was one of the, for me, coolest things to, like I said earlier, have wanted so deeply to do something relating to mental health. I had my degree in psychology, but I very much did not want to do clinical psychology. I very much did not want to go to graduate school. I didn't feel like that was the right path for me. Rather, I wanted to be able to take everything that I knew and take the skills that I had and apply them in a community-based way. And Youth Mental Health First Aid, being an instructor for that program, was it for me to spend an entire, well, 10 months really is what it turned out to be for me.
Right.
To spend that 10 months really just digging into the community, teaching this course, sharing so much information about mental health was critical. Now, this was back in 2014. And back in 2014, we did not talk about mental health like we do today. I felt like I was on the cusp where it was still, we were using very stigmatized language. We were not talking about therapy. We were not talking about, you know, very, very difficult mental health diagnoses. We, as a society, just weren't quite there yet. And one of the coolest things I think about having done Youth Mental Health First Aid is that though I already had a passion for destigmatizing mental health as a whole, I think that what Youth Mental Health First Aid did for me was it gave me a really solid background to talk about mental health in a way that was palatable for others. And I have brought that with me everywhere that I go. Now, I don't believe that mental health should have to be palatable for others, but if you're trying to break down stigma, it does need to be in some ways. To be able to have these conversations, not just in front of a classroom as you're facilitating, but when you're talking to a friend's parent from another generation who doesn't quite get why their friend or why their, you know, child is so sad all the time, you know, to be able to say, well, you know, that could be something significant maybe it's not just sadness. Maybe it's something
Right.
else. So it was just so impactful, I think, for me to get the language that I needed to be able to talk about it. But what I loved also is that I was giving others the language to talk about it. And even today, like I said earlier, in interviews for future jobs, and even my most recent interview for the job that I hold now, I brought this in. Yes, I brought in AmeriCorps service, but I also brought in my background in mental health first aid. And I have been told that one of the reasons that, you know, they were so enthusiastic about hiring me was because I came with a background that they had never really had before. When you are coming into an advising career, in a higher education career, even if you get a graduate degree in higher ed administration or student affairs, you are not deeply trained on mental health topics to the extent that you need to be in a collegiate atmosphere when students are significantly struggling with mental health issues. And what I bring to the team now is that perspective. And I like to think in a lot of ways it's irreplaceable. I am not afraid to ask questions. I'm not afraid to ask how students are feeling. I know what to do if they are not doing well. And that is so critical and so impactful. And I'm just, I think, very, very, very grateful to have had this experience for sure.
As we bring this week's episode to a close, I want to once again say thank you to Alex for joining me today and sharing a little bit about her experience, both previously as an AmeriCorps member, and then specifically in how those terms has helped her throughout her burgeoning career. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and I certainly hope that you will join us again next week when we will have another amazing guest on to chat with. As a reminder, if you are interested in becoming a service member or have any questions about serving, or perhaps your organization would like to become a host site, you will find information and links to follow in our show notes.